Well, this is Tea with Tom, or Tea as my sister calls me. And we're doing the first of a series of video podcasts where we are, our video blogs, where we are interviewing some of our customers. And there's a lot of interest in the coffee community and the coffee shops and starting up. There's just a lot. A friend was selling his coffee cart, and there were 23 inquiries about it. I mean, so people are thinking about this stuff. And so I've got Kevin Lentz. Kevin is the founder of Hearthwood Coffee here. He sells it here in the shop and roasts. So Kevin, welcome to Tea with Tom.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about it. You're just fresh opening, right?
Yeah, so today's the second day of soft opening. Our actual grand opening is gonna be this Saturday coming up, so about 8 days away. And we started roasting just a few years ago out of home, and then steadily into the roastery. And then as this spot became available, we saw the opportunity and went for it. So we joined the two units together and added a retail addition to the entire storefront.
Yeah, now you're strategically located here too, right? You took kind of an underperforming little off the main drag. Oh, that's a lot of.
Oh yeah, all the frames.
Okay. Okay. Well, so you picked a great location, I think, because just right at the corner here is the turnoff to
Crafton Hills College.
Crafton Hills College, and with all this room, there's going to be a lot of students wanting to come down and hang out.
I didn't ever even imagine it going that direction either. When I got into it looking for a spot as a roastery, I always imagined opening up a coffee shop elsewhere, not attached to the roastery. And I picked this spot because the elevation, the layout of the building, the fact that it's kind of a little bit out of the way, but also is at this sort of like intersectional hub between, I can go to Beaumont one direction, I can go to Upper Yucaipa and Oak Glen the other, I can go to Redlands, and I can go down the back way of Crafton and into Mentone.
Yeah.
And so I saw it as a delivery opportunity for the most part. And then as the college has been growing the last few years, and as we're seeing a lot of opportunity popping up with the college, with their expansion, it just ended up fitting perfectly.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Nice job. So day number two today?
Yeah.
Nice job, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so you come to coffee through a journey, though.
Yeah.
I mean, so where I first met you was at a coffee shop at the other end of town called Chai Coffee, and what you were doing for them seemed like consulting. I mean, what were you doing and how did that work?
Well, essentially, we were actually at our roastery. We were doing a tasting shortly after opening. I didn't really have a lot of avenues to try to get people, like to get foot traffic in there, so I would just host free tastings and hope that some people would come in and ask about the coffee, and the right people would come in, and in fact the ones that were interested in where it was coming from and how it was roasted. And a couple came in by the name of Z and Jimmy, and they were regulars from other coffee shops that I had worked at. They had basically just kind of followed the progress about it, asked like when I was roasting at a home, had like purchased the bottles in different shops when I was bottling cold brew. And after the tasting, as they were getting ready to leave, they said, hey, you know, wild idea. We really want to open up a coffee shop, but we don't know anything about how to do that. We feel like that's what we want to do. They just moved to the Yucaipa area maybe the year prior, and they felt that was the next thing that they needed to do in their life. And so then we met up at their house, got together, and kind of talked about where to go from there.
Super. So how did you start like doing consulting? Why would they come to you? What were you offering, and what did you do for them?
I'm not really sure where the idea really came across, or like how we really got into it. I feel like it usually just comes up in conversation, maybe just a willingness to kind of work. I don't know if people can just kind of like get that feel off of me, because I've had a handful of people ask for different things, like in relation to that same idea of consultation or coaching or teaching of any sort, but I know with them, that was pretty much the first real go at it where I had somebody kind of serious to really, to actually make it happen. And when we met up and talked about it, it just kind of meshed well together. They definitely, I could see their vision and I could see what they wanted to do with it.
Yeah.
And it was nice in a few ways to push me out of my comfort zone, because I'd never opened up a retail location. Sure, the warehouse was one thing, but much different as far as permits are concerned, and also the process and trying to make a place that flows for foot traffic.
You did some permitting for them, right? Or you helped them with that?
Yeah, we designed the plans for it. We went down there together to the city hall.
I like you. You like us. So yeah. I'll do plans and do permits.
And the deal was essentially like we help get it started, and they would be a staple shop that would for us to provide coffee for. And even on top of the coffee providing, they liked this style, but they already wanted to push it to what they wanted and push it out of the comfort zone. And what that was essentially a darker roast. At the time, we were only really offering a range of light roasts, ranging from city to full city, and which definitely on the lighter spectrum. And they pushed us clear into the second crack and into an Italian roast.
Oh, wow.
And that same thing, I had always steered away from it because I know a lot of dark roasts have a bad rap for being smoky or savory.
Yeah, a little too caramelized.
It was a challenge to try to find a way to produce a dark coffee that just tasted like chocolate.
Wow, yeah. Sweet. So they were a roasted coffee customer first.
Yeah.
And that was kind of your segue. Then
they
said, yeah, let's do it. And then you said, here I get to learn the whole process without all the pressure that they're experiencing, because it's their money.
It was a really good practice run for this. I could basically find out a little bit of what works and a little bit of what doesn't.
Okay. Well, cool. So when it comes to starting your shop, though, I guess it makes sense that you'd eventually want to do this for yourself, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So what were you thinking about when you started thinking about what Hearthwood might be?
Well, I mean, are you saying from like the expansion side or even from the very beginning?
From the very beginning.
Very beginning. Well, it initially really started as I was going to school. I was going in the medical field, and I was working as an EMT at the time. And just getting into coffee in general, I really liked going to coffee shops. I did discover them when I was probably like 19. And going to coffee shops because I liked the atmosphere and I liked to be able to grab a cup of coffee. They had something that I couldn't make, which was espresso. And so I liked the relaxing atmosphere to it, and I liked that the positive energy and whatnot. And then that drew me into it. I really wanted to work in it. And then I fell in love with it immediately because it was really... people coming in, they were in a good mood and the day was getting better along the way instead of seeing people in a kind of probably one of the worst days of their life and never seeing them again while you're wondering how they're doing and everything.
Yeah.
And so then the initial goal was essentially to open up a coffee shop that would cycle roasters that was all going to be plant-based. That part has always been the same. I've been vegan longer than I've been a barista. And so the whole thing would be essentially plant-based and try to be... environmentally friendly as much as possible.
Totally.
And as I really got into working with coffee and working at a coffee shop, I discovered roasting and how much I actually loved that. And that's what sort of led that direction.
Nice. Nice. Well, it's great to see convictions underneath, the fact that you're doing it and starting a coffee shop, but you have some long set convictions about plant-based, about your own commitment. And so that comes through in your vibe here and also in... kind of your vision of what you're trying to accomplish. So, I look around at what's behind us and so on. So when you're thinking about what your vibe is here, what went through your mind?
Well, I love certain like color coordination and whatnot. So the color palette kind of paved the way for everything.
Really?
And on top of that, materials as well. I wanted there to be, in fact, even like the red bar and stuff, that part wasn't even as much planned. I was planning on doing... the raw concrete, of course, sealed and whatnot, but essentially we're exposed concrete, the wood tops, the metal and everything, the backing and everything being like this, the plastered, like a putty knife sort of texture and whatnot.
Yeah. So what are you saying to your customers with your vibe when they come in?
I think the goal in mind is to set a very homey atmosphere. It's not too clean. You can tell that it's a little bit rough around the edges. It's a little bit worn in. It feels almost timeless. And that's what we were shooting for, was that kind of older...
So they could come in and be themselves.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I wanted it to, even though it's new, it wanted it to feel like it's kind of been around for a long time.
Yeah, very cool. Well, I get that vibe from what you were saying, what first attracted you to coffee shops, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of different ways to say it. I call it community. There's something communal about it. And so you'll develop a community and a little culture here of people and followers and all that stuff, which is really cool. Well, so you did consulting that led to you starting your own shop and so on. So we couldn't resist but brewing up a few teas.
Yeah.
So how's tea going so far on day two?
Tea has been fantastic, especially, we're starting off in June. We're starting right as it's kind of turning into the heat. And, trying to start off in the middle of summer, the start of summer when it's in that transitional period, trying to start off with something a little bit more cumbersome like coffee can be a little bit difficult. Mm-hmm. Tea's been a really awesome thing, because even if people want to come in and they want to try out the coffee and maybe they're bringing a few friends, it's been really easy, at least in this, especially in this time of year, for people to, bring other people along and get something other than coffee. So that's also been really great. Iced teas have been moving extremely fast.
Very good. So what's working best for you? Okay. Sorry, I got to get some tea in there somehow.
Oh, yeah.
It's all really interesting.
Yeah, no, I like the direction this is going. It has a very natural feel to it. It has a good flow.
Well, you'd be surprised. People have different learning styles.
Oh, yeah.
But my learning style is interviewing.
Yeah.
I just talk to people. I'm just naturally curious.
Very cool.
So people, I don't know, feel that.
Yeah.
And, that I'm more than just doing this because we want to get it on a camera.
Yeah.
No,
it's very much as a couple spots, especially when we were going, I forgot that we were even recording a video. I got to a point where I was
that's
like,
good.
Oh, yeah, it's just a podcast. We're just talking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, it's a very, very easy setting. The questions are very natural sounding. Very, yeah, has a good feel to it.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Tropical breeze is driving me crazy here. I can smell it.
Yeah,
the teas and the start of summer, getting started on them.
Yeah, so what's been working?
The best one has been, to my understanding, the newest addition to Summit, which is the I'm drawing a blank on the name right now.
Summer Strawberry, that's it.
For like the last 3 days, 4 days, as we've been getting started, I keep saying it, and now I just drew a blank. The Summer Strawberry. But yeah, that one has been extremely welcoming to people. It smells fantastic. When we pop the jar and we're talking about it, people all the way down the line can smell it. And it's refreshing. It's naturally sweet. And then the fact that you incorporated a lot of people have commented on the local strawberries
as well. Local strawberries, yeah, exactly.
That's been a really cool addition to it.
Very good. Well, I've got a sister one to it. This is called Tropical Breeze, where that one goes down the cherry strawberry currant road. This one goes down the pineapple fruity road.
Yeah.
You want to give it a try?
Let's do it.
Check out that color. I've been smelling this as we've been talking. And,
the aroma is very tropical.
Yeah, it drives me up a wall. So anyway, cheers. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so you can't go from age 13 to, how old are you now?
I'll be 25 next month.
25, okay. Can't go from 13 to 25 in the coffee community without making some observations.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so, what are the mistakes that people make when they start out?
I think the biggest mistake I think I've seen working in shops is kind of, especially with a craft shop, trying to find areas to make the product cheaper on the shop's end. And I've seen it a few times in different aspects of different shops where they might cheapen out on something to try to especially on the start, just to kind of get going.
Yeah.
But people can grab onto that. People stick to that. So I think that's one of the bigger ones that I've seen is you can't come back from that if you're trying to be a craft shop and be a high quality on all ends. I feel like there's not really a way to cut that corner.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we face that when people, ask us if we have a powdered chai.
Yeah.
And we point out it's really not tea.
Yeah. I've seen that on the retail end of the bar a number of times where people are asking for a chai. And actually, I've worked in shops where we've tried to boot the powdered chai and make a real, actual chai behind the bar, or essentially a chai tea au lait. And you always get sort of that feedback. It's like, do you have the powdered chai, though? And it's like, no, that's the entire point, is to be a real, actual product.
I know.
I did have one instance, though, that was pretty funny, where I was so used to just working and having people expect the powdered chai. And he asked about our chai tea latte, and I said, it's really popular because it was a powdered chai. I make the chai tea latte. He goes and sits down with it. He's very excited. I had artwork and stuff on the top. He's all excited. He opens up a book, gets to it, comes back up a moment later after taking two sips and goes, why would you tell me that this chai was good if it's a powder chai? I was like, I was expecting a whole chai. And I was like, I said it was popular. I did not say it was good.
Personally, not a fan. Hurts though.
No, yeah. And I was like, oh, I wish you would have specified there. I would have loved to have made you a TLA if like the real thing. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm glad that's working and iced tea season is of course picking up.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the tropical breeze?
This is, just like the summer strawberry, it's that even balance where I'm not getting too much of any of the different flavors involved. You're getting a lot of the green tea body, and it kind of cuts in and out with the different fruits that are going into it. I'm not getting like any bit of, you know, one and then the other. It's very balanced.
You know, what I like about it too is the long tail. It's got a really pleasant, sweet aftertaste.
Yeah, yeah. Almost reminds me of like eating like a dried mango or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's mango in it. Yeah. Doggone. Okay, so getting back to mistakes. So that's often, so you're saying they kind of cheapen the ingredients.
Yeah.
And of course they're kind of fighting margin and trying to make a profit.
Absolutely,
and all that.
Yeah.
So I mean, I understand the pressure.
Absolutely.
But at some point, I guess you got to make up your mind where you stand on those things.
Yeah. Yeah, which we're very much like getting started. It's very, of course, very tempting to be able to get ahead a little bit quicker by cutting a few corners.
Give it a jump start, yeah.
Yeah, but we really want to just stick with it on the, you know, more on the long term, kind of just like getting people familiar that this is what they're going to be getting.
This is what the good stuff is.
This is, yeah, this is what it is. And long term, I know it'll come back around that way. That's how it's been with roasting coffee. We try to get the best coffee that we can. And people know what they're getting. People can taste it.
Yeah, you can't serve cheap coffee anymore.
No.
I mean, the average person is more educated about coffee than ever before.
Yeah.
And I feel the same thing with tea. I mean, mm-hmm. You do tea right, you know, you're going to attract tea lovers.
Absolutely.
And tea lovers love tea.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you win them and you'll win their friends. That's just how it works.
Yep.
And so we see, like at the Meek House, where, you know, you have friends as well, you just see their tea program escalate over time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, tea lovers love tea.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a common mistake. So what else have you seen? I mean, when you start doing consulting, right, you have to work with the people dynamic and all this. What are some other things you've seen? Like, if you were to say, don't do this or do this on the get-go, what would it be?
There's a few different, like, little things just that come to mind most immediately. And it's really just kind of experience things. I've seen it a handful of times where, you know, for example, like when it comes to like buying certain coffees or trying to source coffees or anything along those lines, and people asking like flat out, just kind of like, hey, you know, how do you feel about this? And I've seen it with a few different people where they kind of like take it and they go like, well, I'm going to try it anyway and I'm going to hope for a different result, and it doesn't ever go that way. It's always some of those being said is kind of things like the whole route of like organic coffee or buying through importers or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just a few things I've seen like along those lines.
Okay, well, cool. So, what about your own shop? You said you had a rude awakening this morning.
Yeah. So today was supposed to be I was supposed to work the afternoon. So today was going to be my day to sleep in just a little bit, and I get a call from CR and Emery. They got here at 6:30 in the morning to get ready to open the shop. They walk in and they hear their feet basically splash into a puddle, and across the store they can hear what they described as a waterfall sound, and so they run over and
that's just really bad.
And this has been something that I've been like hoping that wouldn't happen, but I kind of was expecting it because, to be honest, I'm not very good at plumbing by any means, and
so a lot of DIY in this place.
Oh, the entire place was DIY. We did the whole thing start to finish. It was
there
all
we go.
Yeah, but so yeah, there was one particular pipe that was a concern to me that I was really, I knew that this was going
that
to
was
be.
The culprit, huh?
Yeah, I've been having bad dreams about it and whatnot. And so they call me on the phone and Ciara just goes, can you hear this? And through the phone, I can hear the water gushing.
Oh no!
And it was that intense. And the store literally from one side to the other, all the way across, was actually like flooded between 1 to 3 inches everywhere you go. Just, it got to a point where when I got here, I walked through the roasting side and I took a step and I could feel the water run over the top of my Vans, and I was like, this is not good. So they get up into the attic and they stop the water main, and then I get up here shortly after they got it shut off, and a very panicked drive over and cleaned it up, capped it off, found a solution for it. This is where you do the little like drop in that says like Shark Bite TM. They have the little, they're the Shark Bite product, saved the day here. We didn't have to do any soldering or welding or anything like that. It was literally just a little clip on right there, and it stopped the leak.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we took us about probably an hour and a half to get all the water out of the shop. And then we were able to open only 2 hours late though. We opened at 9 instead of 7, so it could have definitely been worse. Fortunately though, as I was mentioning earlier when I was telling you about this, all the water went within inches of actually damaging anything in the shop, but nothing was actually damaged.
You know, I noticed on your tables, you don't have a typical base on it.
Yeah.
It's like a concrete block.
Yeah.
So there might be a water line on it, you know, but that's no worries.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we did a, yeah, we wanted, and with that, it fit that whole kind of rustic, a nice way to make it DIY without having to buy table bases. But what I really liked about
it. You go to Home Depot for those?
Oh, this whole shop was built out of Home Depot.
Nice.
But what I really liked about it was every shop I've worked in, when you're mopping, you can never quite, like, without moving the table.
Well, you can't quite get under it, right?
Yeah,
so it kind of accumulates,
right? Exactly. So
there is no under it. Yeah.
Exactly. So in my opinion, I'm hoping to see it as a much more sanitary solution to the nightly mopping, where it's not going to be a tedious grime that builds up under it.
You bet.
Yeah.
So is that a YouTube score on that table design?
Well, I kind of, a lot of the designs were sort of built as I was going. I sort of saw generally what I wanted to do with it. And then it really started, I put them as the base for this. I visualized like the base being for this side, and I was like, that'd be really cool. And once I had them in here, then I thought of the idea for those. And my only fear was really that it would just be too redundant. But by the time it was actually all done, and with the pivot, like the sideways chairs and stuff,
it works really well.
Yeah, it fit really nicely, and it's very sturdy. It's very...
it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's mortared to the concrete.
Right. Yeah. Hey, ready for another tea?
All right, let's do
this. This is some of blueberry. I love this. This pairs that cinnamon and blueberry together. I'm a fan of the flavor Bible, which is kind of the tool of a chef. So you think, well, what about tea and tea blending? Well, flavor's flavor, right? So blueberry and cinnamon together works.
Yeah. What I've always liked about this one was the way that it just steers away from tradition in a lot of ways. You know, where would you find blueberry and cinnibus and lemongrass all coming together and working so well?
And hibiscus gives it that kind of citrusy tang. Yeah, no, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
Iced, super duper. Well, okay, so, you know, I can see your brother's influence in your life, right? You could kind of almost credit him for introducing you to coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your grandma.
Yeah.
You know, so cool. So what about your family and influence? I mean, you start sounding a little bit like an entrepreneur when you know, all these different things, you know. Certainly you've got the raw materials, all the pieces are in the box, so to speak.
Yeah.
So where's that come from? I mean, did you have a family that was inventive
I grew up a lot around my dad. My dad owned an electrical company. He started it up, I think, when he was in his early 20s.
Okay.
And, saw that
so
just growing
like
up
as your
a very,
age, right?
Yeah, I saw a wide scope of, and especially with that job, there was a lot of, you know, learning, developing, growing, watching, taking on this odd job or something and being like, how are we going to get around this?
Oh.
I remember going with
problem
him.
Problem solving.
Very much, yeah. He started off, the way he got his start, rather than being bigger jobs, he started off with smaller jobs, going around the old homes in Redlands where the electrical was beginning to fail, or somebody DIY'd it years ago and did it wrong, and he'd be going up in the attic and trying to figure out what happened.
Get it to work.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw a lot of that. Saw a lot of, basically, the biggest thing I think I picked up from his model of business was he had a very small, tight crew. As he like when he really hit like the max of the company, it was only he was doing these crazy large jobs, all these different like local colleges and whatnot, with a crew of 5 people, where there usually would be like 30 or 40, and they all were extremely passionate about it and really worked really hard.
So he was a great team builder.
He was absolutely, and the thing that really kept them involved was very much a constructive capitalist model. They were all paid way above what the other companies were paying. They all were. Every month, they'd be going to a new trip outside of the country. Be like, all right, you know, it's your turn to go take a trip. It's paid by the company. You know, you're on your way.
Man.
He really knew how to take care of them. And he also made it very hard to want to leave that company and do something else. So,
no doubt.
Absolutely.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, I have the advantage of knowing you a little bit, right? So you've taken some of those principles
absolutely.
And made them work here. So what are you doing?
Well, when I got into coffee, I realized how much I liked it, but I also realized really quick that I didn't pay very much. So
yeah, that's right. People usually have 2-3 jobs.
Yeah,
right?
And a lot of baristas that I know in the area work a few different coffee shops to try to get the proper hours and to make enough wages to just
get pay their rent and eat food and have a life. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw right away that the only way that I'd be able to make a career out of it was by starting up a shop. And that also, between the model of my dad's business and also that being in mind as an individual, essentially wanted to set it up in a shop where everybody made just that, enough to get by with one schedule and could do everything that they wanted to do.
Right.
And essentially, if you wanted to have a career in coffee, you could do that.
Well, yeah. See, I mean, it makes sense margin-wise, right?
Yeah.
So if you're buying your coffee wholesale from one of the very credible roasters, you know, here in the area, you might pay somewhere between what, $8 and up dollars a pound?
Yeah, I'd say the average sits around between $8 to $10.
So when you go to buy coffee, now we're not talking something extraordinary, but we're talking about just solid quality coffee. So like how does that run, and what kind of margin do you see there?
Well, the to kind of answer that before we even get up to that. Again, going with, I like transparency, and I like to be able to just, if somebody asks me, I don't want to be ashamed of an answer, essentially, of where we get something.
Yeah.
So the coffee that we get, we do buy it directly from the farms, and we try to cut out any middling parties that would essentially just be buying it, changing hands, and taking a profit for themselves.
Right, goes into a warehouse.
Exactly.
And who knows
how
the bags get organized.
Yeah. You know, it could be completely spoiled by the time we've gotten it.
It's the same thing with tea.
Yeah, so we try to buy it directly from the farms, and also at a rate that's fair to the farms. It's in that same sort of a principle from the start.
So like what you're talking kilos, right?
So yeah. So our average, I'd have to convert it for kilos, but on average, it's usually ends up being about roughly $2 to $3 a pound for the coffees that we usually like our staple, like good, like high quality coffees that we can get and serve them in store and also wholesale them. There's a few we can get away with on bar because there's a little bit more margin. So we might be able to get one that's maybe $5, $6, $7 a pound and do a shorter run of it or something like
right,
that.
Limited edition.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so if it's about 25 servings per pound of coffee, then you have to think at $2 a cup, you know, that's $50 for the house.
Yeah.
So big difference between paying $8 and up versus $3, $4, $5. You know, in that range, and then learning how to roast it yourself and getting it the way that, you know, that carries your vibe and your intentionality, right?
Yeah, gets the what we look for in the cup essentially across.
Yeah, well, what I like about it is that it works your convictions into the very beginning of the process.
Yeah,
you know, that's what's really cool.
Yeah.
So, what do you do here for your employees? Just to go back, I mean, you're thinking about team building too, right?
Yeah.
A little chapter out of your dad's book.
Yeah, so essentially there's not really that kind of tier of like this wage or like if you work hard you get up to this wage kind of thing. Everybody makes the same wage as a baseline, which is already a little bit higher than the minimum or like kind of what we've seen in coffee shops. And the way we tried to set it up was essentially if there's the kind of the minimum area that's like our baseline, and then if there's all the area that we need for the store to grow, and we kind of put a cap on it. Because that's essentially more than we would need as it is to try to grow at the rate that we've projected.
Yeah.
And then that remaining amount, say it's been really busy and we've peaked that threshold, then we'd take that remaining amount and redivide it back up amongst the baristas
based on hours. Do profit sharing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So they, in a sense, have a piece of the rock.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not
Kevin Lent's company, but, you know, they have a piece of it.
Yeah, because I've felt that a resentment with people before where it's like, oh, you know, I'm down here working and it's extremely busy and what do I get for it? It's
the same.
Yeah.
It pays the same. Yeah.
No difference. So in this area, people hope for it to be busy because, you know, this is their
area.
Shop
yeah.
as well. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Right. Right. Yeah. Really cool. Well, you know, I would predict that you'll build a team.
Yeah.
Okay. You already have though, actually.
Yeah.
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 See, I think that's really cool. And, I think your willingness to be open-handed, you know, it's like what goes around, the old saying is, comes back to you.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
It's a gutsy thing to do.
Thank you.
But, you know, I mean, who's gonna say that that's not right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that model as well, I hope people, you know, opportunities like this too, or even kind of having this talk on this podcast and video and stuff, I can kind of spread a little bit about that, try to get people like to see like the model that we're trying to do. Hopefully it starts a trend, or even you see that with other shops,
with other
types of businesses. That'd be really cool.
You got a line out the door of people waiting for jobs. There we go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it has to be part of the reason why baristas change jobs so often.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, once a year is not infrequent or faster. And so, you know, they're helping build something here that they're a part of. That makes total sense to me.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. Like, as you're saying, with like the high turnover, I feel like I've seen it with a couple of different, couple of like closer friends of mine too, where they just kind of like, they get that burned out feeling because they don't feel like they're actually a part of it.
That's right. Yeah.
They want to be still, they want to stay engaged with coffee, but they're not finding it anywhere.
Yeah, so it engages their time, right? But not their heart.
Yeah.
Different, different vibe. Okay, well, let me go down a different road here. So as you've thought about, you know, building out your coffee shop here, you're not just about coffee, though, in this space. You've invited a partner, right?
Oh, yeah. So a lifelong friend, it was actually my brother, one of my brother's best friends when we moved to the Yucaipa area. He met him at Yucaipa High School.
This is your brother again.
Yeah. Met him through my brother. His name, my brother's friend, well, my brother's name is Michael. My brother's friend's name is Brandon. And, but yeah, I met him through my brother, and then I've seen him get, fall in love with the craft beer industry. And
as many of us have.
Yes. And I'm on the other end of it, where, you know, I'm on the
receiving end.
Yes. And I definitely have an appreciation for it on that element. And I watched him really progress with that whole industry and really like find his, that was his niche. He very much so. He tried out a lot of different hobbies and stuff, but you could tell beer really stuck with him. And so I've been, as we got this going, he's been always asking about like the progress of this and if I could show him about roasting and stuff. And I keep asking about his brewery.
Well, coffee ends up in beer too, right?
Oh yeah. And that's, we've worked together a lot. In fact, that was actually what brought on the decision of partnership. He came in to pick up some of our darker roasted coffee to put into a strawberry stout. And he wanted to pair it, because he did a strawberry stout with our Colombian coffee that had notes of cherry and red wine. So just a natural pairing. These flavors are all just going to mesh up.
Sounds
excellent.
Like it would work. Yeah.
So he's asking tips about it. We start talking about it. We get into a whole conversation.
Yeah.
I'm asking about how his brewery is going, and he goes, you know, I don't know, you know, down the road, maybe I'll try to start it and stuff. And then we were in the roastery. And we have all this space now because we're talking about expanding into here, and we have all this extra storage space and stuff.
Right.
And I was, basically the idea came across, why not just move it in there? It adds a whole other dynamic. It's still produced in-house. We can have the kind of the morning and the nighttime dynamic. They're two things that I absolutely love, and I would love to get on the side of producing beer as well. And on the same side, this is a good friend of mine as well who's been trying to do this for his whole life and has looked for an opportunity to make his own art in the element, but a lot of people are just telling him to produce the beer that they want to produce. So
yeah, well, and how much of you is the product of relationships?
Whether absolutely.
That's family, friends, all of that.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just kind of do this solo mundo.
No way.
You have to.
That's why we really like value the people who are involved too, because they really make a shop what it is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And their attitude day in and day out makes so much of a difference.
Yeah. And they hold on to their own personal regulars as well. There's definitely like people hook in. They engage with people and they have their own set of regulars, essentially, that find comfort in the day of going and getting their morning coffee from a certain individual.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you didn't mention high tech in your backstory, you know, so I'm assuming you didn't sell a big company and then, you know, just kind of finance this whole thing yourself,
no.
Right? And it doesn't seem like you went to the bank either. So
I tried.
You tried?
It was kind of ironic. They said you have to be in business for 2 years. And I was like, well, I can't start the business without being.
I know.
This is a little bit of a catch 22. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a banker's way of saying.
Get out of my office. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
how'd you do it? I mean, this doesn't come cheap, right?
No, it was a lot of working very extensive hours, trying to sell coffee on a retail level, which at a very start was very little, but it helped some.
So you're saving money is what you're saying.
Yeah. And then I also used to paint a bit. I sold some paintings. I had a lot of luck with those. That was really
seriously
nice. Yeah.
Where are they?
Well, hopefully now I have some time to get back to some painting.
That's right.
Right.
No time,
gone.
Right?
Yeah, they're gone right
no
now.
No time.
Yeah. No, I actually painted a couple of different paintings. A lot of actually, ironically, a couple of them were of coffee shops. so I did some paintings involving coffee shops. Sold those, bought a small roaster, sold some more paintings, would sell some coffee that I roasted. And then, especially as we get going, just like trying to find any opportunity where we can try to get, kind of like pay down a credit card, get a little bit more on the credit card and try to, things like that. Just trying to stretch it. Yeah. Just trying to just keep expanding it and trying to get it going. And then, especially towards the end as well, we've definitely got a lot of help even from, another barista who's going to be working here and also has kind of a sister store, which is the Gray Whale Coffee.
Okay.
And she definitely has been helping us with the last kind of home stretch here. We probably would not have, we'd be opening a few more months down the road if she wasn't in a spot where she could help us out right now too.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. So some of that's come along in house as people kind of like what you're doing.
Yeah.
And can see them, taking some of their hard-earned money and investing it.
Yeah,
so it seems like you weren't going for the big lifestyle, right? So you weren't thinking about, driving a BMW and all this stuff. So you were saving your money because you had a plan.
Yeah.
See, I like that.
Yeah.
Living below your means is one of the big financial keys to life. most people live over, but if you can live under, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so Kevin, we've talked about a bunch of subjects here, but what have I not touched that if you wanted people to understand what you're doing and what you're about, where you're going, what would it be?
We've covered a lot of ground, touched on a lot of areas. That's a tough question.
Well, let me rephrase it. So what do you want to accomplish here? Is there a point where you're going to be done? You've crossed the finish line? I mean, so what's that about?
I feel like the point where it would be finished, essentially, as far as, I wouldn't necessarily say finished on progression, because I feel like if you're not moving forward, then you're moving backward. But essentially, with the point where I feel like the kind of the atmosphere would be complete is the building itself is getting closer to being in an element that's nice, where we want it and where it feels like at home for ourselves and for a lot of people. But essentially the goal in mind would be where we can be available from the early hours to the late hours with the whole combination of the beverages and stuff that we're serving, whether they be coffee, tea, beer, juices, anything like that, light snacks and stuff for people to have. But essentially the biggest goal in mind really with all of that is setting up a platform for people to come and hang out and have kind of a safe, relaxing spot where they can feel at home.
Yeah.
And also a place that they can be proud of going and spending their money as well, because people, it's not...
They understand how it's working behind the bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whether, where it's going to on the farm level, on the level of the barista, the fact that we're not doing... we're trying to reduce the waste and stuff. All of our, single-use items will be compostable and whatnot. So in any element that they can grab onto and kind of feel proud of it on their level as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, Kevin, I'm optimistic. I think your spirit is awesome. I think what you're doing here has got vision and conviction behind it. So, and by the way, thank you for taking on Summit Tea.
Yeah, thank you.
This is exactly the place where we want to be.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Yeah.
All right.
How does it sound?
Did we get it?
Yeah, I don't know how long.
Well... It's not all equally good, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's definitely...
So we went about 50 minutes?
Yeah.
40 minutes?
So 42.